verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience of sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. I hope we're greatly rejoicing. Amen. For heaven. Well, let's have a word of prayer. We're going to look at verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Father, we come to you tonight, humbling our hearts and asking you to meet with us and speak to us concerning the things of God, concerning this power of God, concerning the salvation that's ready to be revealed in these last days, and speaking, Lord, to us about this rejoicing that ought to be in us. I pray tonight that you would just fill us with the Holy Ghost of God and move about us and do a work in us, God, that would change us from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Reminiscing this week, I was back home for a couple days there with my mom and spent some time with her and spent more time just out walking around doing nothing and thinking about some old time days of years ago, about 40 years ago, and some of the things I was doing back then and not many days after that, and just seems like I was in a patch of woods that we own that I haven't been in since I left home and moved over here, let me put it that way. And that's been 22 years, and I was walking around there, and I was thinking, I remember me and my dad cutting that patch of timber when I was about 13 or 14 years old, and thinking about him a little bit, and how young I was, and how old I am, and how time has just seemed to go by regardless if I've been ready for it or not. And I was telling Brother Bill this morning, I thought I was having a heart attack. I got here to church and I couldn't breathe. And I thought, I ain't got time to have a heart attack. I got too much to do. Amen. And I couldn't breathe. And I thought, my goodness, if I die, I better act like I'm busy. Amen. Want to die goofing off. and man, I'm telling you, I couldn't breathe worth nothing. And I finally thought, well, before I get too excited, there's a quick cure for everything. I went down and got me a can of Coke and chugged it down, and out comes something out like Big John, amen. and whoo, the relief a guy feels. I didn't even think, wow, I could have had a V8. Amen. I was just grateful to God. But I got to thinking about how quickly life comes and goes. And some of you that are my age and maybe older, you can look back and think it was like the psalmist, I once was young and now I'm old. Or I'm getting old and I'm getting closer to that side than I am where I was. And I thought about some of the things that some of my neighbors, as I was driving around town and there, and some of the things that have changed over the years, and people that I can remember, and many of them now I have no idea who they are or anything about them, and just how times change and things change. And we've been here for 22 years, here just in a couple more weeks. The church would have voted, accepted me as a pastor in just a few more weeks. And whenever you begin to survey life, when you begin to survey your ministry, put it that way, when I survey my ministry, when I look back and think, you know, where I've been and where I'm at and maybe hopefully where I'm going to be at here in another 20 years if the Lord wills and I live and can breathe, there's always the importance of trying to be better for God and trying to let God's grace do in me that which He desires to do. And I think one of the greatest comforts there is as a Christian, if you're a Christian of our kind, is the fact that God is always with you. Now, if you're a Christian of some other kinds, you may be skeptical on that idea. He may be with you, he may not. This depends on which crowd you're talking about out yonder. But, you know, I'm thankful that God is with us at all times, under all circumstances. Whether I'm succeeding or whether I'm failing, God never leaves me. He's always with me. He's not always pleased with me, sadly to say, but He's always with me. And tonight I just want to thank God that no matter where we are, what stage of life, whether we're starting off in the Christian life, whether we're maybe halfway through the Christian life, or maybe we're on the downhill side of the Christian life, as far as this side of the earth is, or this side of eternity is concerned, I'm thankful that God always keeps us. And there's nothing that can ever separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing that I can do can ever make God think, man, I'm just sick and tired of loving that kid. Amen? I am sick and tired of trying to change him and conform him and forgive him and help him and put up with him and be long-suffering and all these things. I'm just tired of that and I'm just writing him off right now. He never does that. And I'm thankful to God for that. I think whenever we survey the past, I think all of us could say there are things that we would wish that we could do different. Things that we could wish we could maybe undo. Maybe some things that we wish we could do more of, but we can't. And yet God still keeps us. And so the Apostle Peter is writing here to a group of people that we mentioned are scattered abroad. In these areas, they're believers, they're Jewish believers, scattered amongst a very hostile Roman government, a very hostile Jewish religion, and then the pagan religions, of course, on top of that. And yet they're able to be confident that whatever happens, that God is with them. And that not only is God with them, but God is to keep them in all aspects of their life. You know, whenever you think about this, that in verse 4, God says, we have an inheritance that is reserved in heaven. We have an inheritance that is reserved for us. But let me say what's more exciting than that is that we are reserved for the inheritance in heaven. We are kept by the same power that God keeps that inheritance. So just as nothing's ever going to change what takes place up there, nothing can ever change what's going to take place in me here unless God so deems it. I am kept by the power of God. No matter what happens, you think about that for a minute. You think about the things that the Apostle Paul went through, and until God was done with him, he was kept. 2 years in prison. You know what 2 years before he heard? You're going to witness for me in Rome. 2 years before that's what he heard. Now you'd think, after a little bit, you'd think, whew, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. But you know, Paul's faith never failed. In fact, whenever, right before he was sentenced to go, he stood before King Agrippa 2 years later and he said, Paul, what do you think? And he said, I think myself happy. Nothing could have killed Paul. Those men that took that vow, those men that wanted to kill him, that religion that was hostile toward, nothing was going to touch Paul because God had made him a promise that he was going to witness for God in Rome. And he did, praise the Lord. I think sometimes we get a little discouraged when we ought to be encouraged. In fact, the Apostle Peter said, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Knowing that our glorification is on its way, we ought to greatly rejoice, knowing that we are kept by God's power through faith in Jesus Christ unto an inheritance, unto something that is greater and bigger than us, and that God, which promised, cannot lie, and that one day we're going to get to heaven. Now that's something worth rejoicing about regardless of what we're going through. Now I got to thinking about the power of God. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know that I appreciate enough the power of God. We sometimes, well, God's powerful. Yeah, He is powerful. But the power of God in me, that's what's amazing. Amen. Take your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 22. We're just going to do a quick through the Bible look here tonight and talk about the power of God and the things that God has for us. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 29. I think it was Brother Angel who maybe preached on this or maybe referenced this. I think it was him, but if not, it was somebody we've had here. And here's the verse in chapter 22, verse 29. Jesus is going to straighten them out. And he said, Jesus answered and said unto them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." No, it was Brother Sam, because he said, you know the scriptures, know the power of God. Don't know the scriptures, don't know the power of God. And so here we need to understand the power of God is embedded in the scriptures. And the more you know the scriptures, the more you'll know of the power of God. We quote that verse. I quoted that verse in connection with the building uptown. And I said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And usually that's where we stop. But the Bible says, according to the power that worketh in us. The power of God. And the more we know the scriptures, that's why the devil keeps us from the Bible. Because the less you know about the scriptures, the less power you have against him and his kingdom. The less you know about the Bible, the less influence you'll have in this world. The less you know about the Bible, the less of a threat you'll be. They say knowledge is power. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the devil knows if you know the scriptures. See, he came across a fellow one day whom he wasn't sure who he was until he tested him. "If thou be the Son of God, cause these stones to be turned in." Let's see your power, brother. Amen. Probably didn't call him brother, but let's see your power. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." He said, "All right, let's go up here to the temple." And he said, "Now, if you're really the Son of God, cast yourself down, because God has said He'd give His angels charge that you wouldn't whatever it says there. You know what the scripture. All right." And the Lord says, "Don't tempt God." He found out he was the Son of God. But he found it because of the power of Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says in Luke? "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." Why? Because he knew the Scriptures. So the power of God is here in the Scriptures. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if we didn't have a Bible, we wouldn't know anything about God. We would not know a thing about God. We'd know there was a creator, like many of our those that worship creation know. There's a creator, amen. But we wouldn't know about God. What we know about God is contained in the scriptures. And the more we know the scriptures, the more we know about God. And the more we know about God, the more power we have in identifying with Him as well. Turn over to Romans chapter 6, or chapter 1. Now most of these verses that you can... that we'll read, you're probably familiar with. You could probably quote them, but I want us to read them. Paul, writing to the Roman church, said, "So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you there at Rome also." Then verse number 16, Romans chapter 1, and verse number 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." It's important that we put that in there, the gospel of Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit wanted that in there for a reason. He said, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The very power of God is contained in the gospel. The only way God can save a man is by the power of the gospel. The power of God to save is embedded, it is engulfed in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God tonight, ladies and gentlemen, whenever I believed on Him 37 years ago, thank God that I got saved, not by my own will, not by the will of man, but by the power of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I've been saved ever since. Now, I did not err knowing the Scriptures that night. I believed the Scriptures. And the Scriptures was the power of God. And the power of God is contained in the gospel. Paul wrote to the Corinthians there in chapter 15. He said, the gospel is the death of Christ. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried. And that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Very important. He just didn't give us an idea. He said, you know, this is my take on this thing. He said, this is what the Bible says. I was reading B.H. Carroll's Introduction to the Bible, and he was talking about the Bible and the word Greek words that we have for Bible and the canon and such like. And he says, Biblios means the book. He said, according to what the book says, this is how Christ died. This is why He died. This is how He rose again. This was it. This is the gospel by which I am saved and by which you are saved. The power of God to save is not in water. The power of God to save is not in the church. It's not in the preacher. It's not in the creed. It is in the gospel. And therefore, everybody that is ever going to be saved must believe the gospel, because that's the only way a person can be saved. That's the only way God has the power to redeem mankind. You said, well, I thought God was all powerful and He could do anything. He can, but He can't redeem outside of the power of the gospel. Outside of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If anybody don't know, it's warm in the building tonight. Let's all say amen. Anybody cold? Come right up here. Sit right up here and you'll be warm. Amen. It is good and toasty up here. It is 72 in this building. That is way too hot for church. Amen. Whew. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul talking about his calling to preach. I like in verse 14. He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. I like this. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Man, there ought to be power in preaching. And the power of preaching ought to change people's lives. That's whenever people are here under the preaching of the gospel that they ought to feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. I remember one time, Mary Beth would have to remind us of his name. You don't have to, but I remember a fella came three or four times and said he was saved. Later on, he did get saved. And if I remember right, they were from up by Cairo somewhere, and they sat right about there where Brother Nathan, Miss Aaron are at, and Brother Shelton was preaching. And he recorded, I mean, he said this with his own mouth. He said, that guy never took his eyes off of me the whole time. Now, that wasn't Brother Shelton's eyes. That was the eye of the Holy Ghost. And thank God, Rob was his name, wasn't it? Rob got saved. He had come into church here and said he was saved, but probably he was convicted of the Holy Ghost that day of being lost and didn't know what to do about it. But thank God he got saved. And you know what? Preaching, Bible preaching ought to have power to it. Just because we're loud doesn't mean anything. on the night that I think it was George Whitefield preached that great message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He read it word for word. He was hard of not hearing but seeing. He was hard of seeing. And he wrote it out and he stood in front of a congregation and he read Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. How many's ever read that message? About five of us. Good. Praise the Lord. Rest of you Google it and read it. All right? Probably won't do for you what it did then, but it might. And he stood there and he read that message that night this close to his face and the power of God fell down. Power of preaching. Now, I surely don't want to be a critic of others' ways other guys preach. But much of what we hear today is not preaching. Sharing is not preaching. So, some of this stuff we hear going on in Moberly and the surrounding areas is not preaching. Self-help is not preaching. Finding the better you inside of you is not preaching. Because there is no better you in you. That sure messes Joel and the rest of the crowd up, don't it? You know, being a better person tomorrow doesn't mean, that isn't preaching. Preaching confronts us with sin, righteousness, and judgment. It confronts us with holy living. And so Paul said, God's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost, to them that will believe. And there's power. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross. Charles Spurgeon said, all roads of England lead to London. And he said, all preaching ought to lead to the cross. Or lead to the cross. Thank God tonight, whenever I got under conviction about being saved, I wasn't hearing preaching what's probably popular today over America. I heard some men that just scalded the hide off of you. I mean, they were relentless in their attempts to see people saved. They didn't care if they offended anybody. In fact, they probably thought they failed if they didn't. Amen? We live in such a hypersensitive world that any kind of preaching that offends me, I'll just take my toys and go somewhere else that doesn't. But man, I'm thankful to God them old men preached hell hot and heaven real. Amen? Thank God, ladies and gentlemen, I always tell people, man, they'd skin you alive, salt you, cook you, and skin you again. And they didn't even seem to bother you. It didn't bother them that they were doing it. Amen? They'd see a guy squirming in the pew. Man, they had their targets on him. Amen? I mean, I've read them stories of them old revival meetings and people getting saved. And that's the power of preaching. By the way, let me tell you, the world still don't like preaching because it confronts us with truth. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5. Well, I like reading verse number 4. I talk to the Lord a lot about this. Paul said in verse 2, he said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And as I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If I ever lead anybody to the Lord, I always get my Bible. Right here's where the power is. Here's why you need to be saved, the Word of God. You know, ladies and gentlemen, people can't argue against the Scriptures. God just don't argue. Here it is, believe it or not. Amen? And said, your faith... He said, my speech, Paul could have dazzled them with his speech. He was very educated. But he said, I'd rather preach in the power of God under the influence of the Holy Ghost and let your faith be established in God's power. What do you mean? Well, the power of God to save, which is the gospel. I'd rather just preach so that Christ is glorified, so that the gospel's furthered along the way. And so tonight, our faith is not in man's wisdom, but in the power of God. I hope tonight you're saved. I hope tonight you know you're saved.
I hope tonight you believe you're saved forever and ever and ever. I hope you're, I know what it is to have doubts. Well, I'm saved today. Well, tomorrow may be a different story. Boy, you struggle, amen? Well, I tell you, the devil is always attacking where he thinks he can get you at. And if he can ever make you doubt your salvation, and if you're doubting your salvation, there's one of two reasons. Either the devil has deceived you or you're lost. You say, well, which one? Well, I only got a clue. You know, sometimes a saved person can have doubts about their salvation. I always go back to John the Baptist. And John, who said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, sent two guys whenever circumstances wasn't looking too favorable. And he said, go over there and ask that fellow if he's him or we look for another. Another. That means somebody else. They went over there and said, John wants us to know if you're him or if we should start looking somewhere else. See, circumstances can sometimes make you wonder if God's who He says He is. That's why we want our faith in the Word of God, not in what I say or what somebody else says. This is what the book says. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul talks about the ministry. And he says here in verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee or helped thee, aided thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving none offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfringed, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, and as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged, and on and on and on. Paul said, this thing is not done by my flesh. This is by God. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you'd have to be pretty committed to anything to go through the stuff he went through and not quit. I mean, most Christians, they can't even take a good criticism without quitting, much less getting a whip on your back. Amen. 5 times by the Romans, 3 times by the Jews. I mean, in perils and day and night and being stolen from and lied about and criticized and you know all the things that we don't know anything about today. And he says, but I just kept on going because there's something greater than me about this. I'm doing this by the power of God. There's no other way he could have done it. There's some things we do in our life, in our Christian life, we can't do but by the power of God. I'm convinced you can't forgive some people except by the power of God and the grace of God. I'm convinced you cannot do some things God asks you to do except by the power of God. In fact, all things, amen. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's God's grace working in him. We'll go over in chapter 13 for a minute. Chapter 13. I'm just talking to you about the power of God. We're going back over 1 Peter here just in a minute. Chapter 13, and verse number 4, the Bible says, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. But we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. You know, Paul said in that flesh, Christ was, he showed his humanity. He showed the weakness of the flesh. It died. But he lives by the power of God. Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life and power to take it up again. They said, yeah, you're a fake. On that third day, they said, you know what? We better pay them soldiers to lie and say, somebody stole him away. You know what? They knew what happened. Yeah, they knew what happened. They knew there was a resurrection. They knew he was the power of God. And Paul said, in this flesh we're weak, but by the power of God we live unto you. You know, this Christian life has to be lived in the power of God. Paul says in Corinthians, somewhere in 2 Corinthians, he said, they that are in the flesh cannot please him. It's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, the Bible says in First John, or in John's Gospel, I think it's chapter 6, verse 38. The flesh, there's nothing in here. So anything I do for God that's going to be counted in the kingdom, I'm going to have to do it by the power of God. Paul, talking about his flesh, he said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Nothing. Well, I tell you what, mine there is. Well, not in God's sight there isn't. Your righteousness is a bunch of filthy rags, just like mine is. But by the power of God, we can live. By the power of God, we can serve. By the power of God, our lives can count for God. Well, thank God for that. Now, turn back over to 1 Peter for just a minute. And we're just about done. Glory to God. The Apostle Peter, writing, he said, we've been saved in verse number 3. That's justification. Amen. We've been justified in the sight of God. We know according to the Bible we are to be living sanctification. We're progressively being sanctified, or hopefully by the grace of God. We're being set apart day by day unto Christ and to be used of Him. Hopefully today I'm a better Christian than I was yesterday or the day before or last week or last month. Hopefully today I'm a better Christian. If not, I'm backslid. If I'm not making progress forward, I'm sliding back. Amen? So I don't know where you are in your Christian life. But I hope today, first of all, let me say, I don't know where you are in your life, period, but hopefully you've been justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully today you're saved. Y'all remember when you got saved? Praise God. Amen. All right. Those of you who didn't raise your hand, come on down here and get saved tonight. Say, well, I just didn't know if I should have raised my hand. Too Pentecostal for us. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I remember that day so well, whenever heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I remember that day. I could take you almost to the spot and the place where I got saved at, right over there in that other building. What a glorious time it was whenever I got saved. And you know, I haven't been as sanctified as I ought to be all the time. But I thank God, ladies and gentlemen, I believe I can say with some confidence, I am closer to God today than it was the day I got saved. Hopefully today I can say I've learned a little bit more about the Christian life and holy living and righteousness and sanctification and consecration than I did whenever I first got saved. Hopefully I've moved a little closer to Him and not further away. But I'll tell you what, the same power of God that saves me is the same power of God that keeps me, according to this verse. You're kept by the power of God. Kept from what? Well, from anything that won't harm you. Whatever the troubles of life, the discouragements, he's going to talk about it. From these trials and difficulties that they're going to face as Christians out here in this hostile world. And by the way, the world's still hostile towards the Christian life. They don't mind religion in general. They just don't want Christianity. Have you ever tried to do something that's almost impossible to do? I mean, it's like, have you ever tried to reach somebody that you think's almost impossible to reach? They sometimes give me a challenge. I think, oh, you ain't that hard to reach. But some of them prove to be real difficult, more difficult than others. Now, they're not the chiefest of sinners. Paul was the chiefest of sinners, he says. So from there on down, everybody's easier. But I think maybe somebody had been second in charge. But you know, I've been trying to win some people, and I think, you know, not everybody is as excited about salvation as I am. They're kept by rules and regulations. They're kept by some attachment maybe to Scripture, but not necessarily Scripture. You know what I mean? They have some verses they know about. They're religious, let's say it that way. But they're not confident that they're saved. I've been trying to really build some friendships, just acquaintances, whatever I can do, whatever you want to call it, down there at them Amish. I'm telling you what, talking to them is like talking to that wall. I mean, they've just been embedded in religion. Now, they talk a good talk, but when it comes down to it, they've got a different way of living than a different way of believing. They say one thing, but they practice another. And so I've been trying to befriend them. Well, I've come to know some of them down there. Brother John introduced me to a lot of them whenever he was alive. And Brother John, boy, I tell you what, he was a witnessing man down there. I mean, he was, I'm telling you, no couth at all. I'm telling you, you know, how he was at church is how he was down there. Just no couth at all about it. Not, hey, my name is John, what's yours? No, he'd just say, you're dying and going to hell. You know, jab him in the heart. You know, why play around with this thing? You know, man, but you know, John was sincere. Man, they loved him. Man, they respected him for the most part. I guess he was obnoxious at times to him as well. But man, he loved him. And you know, I've learned trying to witness unto him. I try to go down there time to time. I enjoy going to the auction down there. I like to buy stuff, but I really enjoy just trying to get to know them guys. Some of them know I'm the preacher up here. So now when I've been down there, most of them say, hey, preacher, how you doing? Well, a few weeks ago, when was that? I was down there at the hospital with you all somewhere. I was with Lori down there at the hospital. And they was all in the waiting room. I forgot what was going on with Lori. But anyway, they was all, you come up and get out of the elevator, and right there was Betty's family sitting there, and so we was talking there a minute. Well, out of the corner of my eye, I caught a glimpse of somebody. And last year, and this old guy is about as indifferent as can be. His wife's real nice, and so I happened to see him there. And his daughter was having, I don't know, I forgot what problem she is having. And I don't even think I told them. I quit talking to them. I went over and talked to him. And before last year, whenever I met this guy, man, he just wouldn't give me the time of day. But you know, I asked him what he was doing there, and he recognized who I was. And so I told him, I said, well, I'm going to be praying for her. And you know, ever since then, every time, every week, I see them down there at the auction. If I go every week or they're there every week, you know, they make it a point to find me. And man, we talk. And last year he bought some tomatoes, and I said, sell me a box of them tomatoes for what you paid for them. He goes, no way. I'll make money on them. So this year he was seeking me out. He said, hey, if I buy them, you want some? And his wife, man, I do. I just hug on her, and I just want her to know I love her and care about her. I ask them about their daughter all the time. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Let me tell you. When people know that you really care about something that's going on in your life, they're a little bit more open to you. And you know, I saw them, the auction's over on Friday, but I saw her, I saw him too, and talked to him just a minute. I told him, I said, have a good winter and see him, you know, next year, Lord willing, and talk to him there a minute. But you know, if we don't do something to try to promote the gospel. And so there's times whenever there's great challenges. And so some of these Amish have moved away. There's like seven families that have left down here, and they've moved over towards Centralia. And so I'm thinking, hey, buddy, here. Because if you're in this crowd, boy, it's hard to get a word in edgewise. I'm thinking a new crowd might be able to get in. I asked you a couple weeks ago, pray about that. Haven't got in yet. But I talked to Toby, and he was the butcher down there. I think he's doing it now and still where he's at. But I was telling him, I said, hey, let's talk about let me have a Bible study with you. I said, I promise you I won't try to make a Baptist out of you. I said, well, let's study the Bible. He said, well, you know, we believe the Bible. I said, is that right? He said, yeah, we even read it every once in a while. Oh, well, at least he's honest, amen. And he said, we read it every once in a while. You know, we're not against it, but we just probably don't believe the way you believe. And I said, well, then, there's no problem in studying the Bible if you believe the Bible and I believe the Bible. I said, we're as Bible believers studying the Bible. So I've been working on something to study with him. I'm going to go through the book of Genesis. Anybody that can believe as a Bible believer ought to believe Genesis. In the beginning, God. You know, I was reading an article the other day where I forgot this guy's name back in 1961. The Southern Baptists fired him from one of their colleges because he questioned the authenticity of the book of Genesis. He thought there was multiple authors of it. He thought there was, you know, that Abraham hadn't seen God and all these kinds of things that the liberals and the heretics talk today. Amen? And I thought, boy, I've been working on a lesson. So if Toby ever says, hey, come down, we'll have a Bible study. Well, I didn't see him this week, but I know where he lives at. And I thought, man, I'm going to hound this dude until he finally just gives in. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, it's the power of God that keeps. They're kept by the church. Yeah, they're kept by doing. They're kept by obeying the rules. I'm thankful to God whenever God in His grace led me to the church that taught the truth. I'm kept by the power of God. I couldn't do enough to keep myself. Well, I was telling Brother Lee and Brother Andrew, I had to apologize for them. I'm telling you, Thursday, I just had a fit. I tell you what, if I'd had one of them guns you could shoot and blow something up, that whole white building over there would have been in smithereens with them in it. They could have went to heaven. It'd have been all right. They'd have thanked me when I got there. Amen. I'm telling you, anything that could have went wrong did go wrong. And about 2 o'clock, man, I had done reach my limits plus everybody else's limits. Oh, I'm telling you. Good thing I'm not kept by my own will. I'd have been out. I'm thankful I'm kept by the power of God. Unto a salvation ready to be revealed. So I've been justified. I've been tried to be sanctified. I fail horribly at it. But there's coming a day whenever I'm going to be glorified. This is it. I'm telling you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking for that salvation ready to be revealed. Amen? What? That brand new body. Remember Brother Shelton singing that song, I'm already in heaven waiting for a brand new body? Man, what an exciting time that's going to be. Whenever we get to heaven and we get that brand new body, sin-free. Still got that new sin-free smell on it a billion years from now. Sin-free. Y'all remember that? Boy, won't that be an exciting time when we get to heaven? I mean, just excited. You know, and it'd even be better, I think. Not that I want people to die and go to hell, but it'll be better whenever those tears are wiped away and the remembrance of this former life is all over with. You know, ladies and gentlemen, not one of us could enjoy heaven knowing our family's in hell. None of us could. Man, there's a glorified. He said, we're greatly rejoice. What? Then it's things coming to an end. This old body that I got, whether I breathe or don't breathe, it's getting transformed. Whether the worms get it or the rapture gets it, it's getting transformed. I'm waiting already. And you know, the Bible says one day we'll be known as we're known. I won't ever have to come up and say, now, didn't I know you down yonder at the church? No, I'll just, hey, that's Brother Brian right there. I don't know if we'll use brother or not, amen. St. Brian or St. Jean or whatever. I don't know how you green them all up in heaven, amen. We're just going to know everybody. He said, who are kept by the power of God through faith. My salvation, the faith that I had in the power of salvation, is what's keeping me. Not me, not my faith, but what I believed about, what God said. Unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Our glorification. Paul said, wherein we you greatly rejoice. Man, it's coming for a time for change. Man, they're going through some troubles, problems, difficulties. Man, I've been reading, oh, I'll tell you what, some of the things those early Christians went through, just horrible. They soaked them in oil, tar, hung them up on a post, soaked them in oil, lit them on fire. They were the light by which they partied by. Then they got some others in the ring and said, now, if you don't deny Christ, it's what we're going to do to you. Well, you'd have to be committed to the Lord then. kept. Justification, sanctification. But thank God, ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day when glorification is going to happen. Boy, I want you to know, we need to live like any day that could happen. Any day we could meet the Lord. Have vessels ready for His coming. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, what a privilege that it is to bow our knees here, or to humble our hearts here and to pray. And God, just to thank You and say thank You, and just to say thank You and thank You and thank You for the power of God in the gospel to save us. Thank You, God, for that day when by faith I believed. And thank You, God, You accepted my faith and granted me salvation. And Lord, there's coming a day, God, my soul's already saved. My spirit's already saved, been quickened. But God, thank God, there's coming a day when this body's going to get in on it too. Lord, I just pray tonight that God, You'll help us. I don't know what Christians going through here. I don't know what stage they're at in their Christian life. But God, there may be some that's not been rejoicing over the thought of heaven. Maybe some, God, not been realized. They've been kept by the power of God all these years. Lord, I don't know what needs to be done, but I just pray, take and work and glorify Yourself in Jesus' name.